the other side. In other words, they had a word, they had a command from the Lord to cross over. They had a word that could stabilize them. Because sometimes, you know, we get in our own boats and we just presume that God will do the rest. But really, we should only be motivated and moved by what he says. Amen. Let us cross over the other side. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. This boat was already filling. Now, don't forget, in this boat, there were some men that were professional fishermen. They had been in storms. Storms were not new to them. They understood what a storm was. But the boat was filling. But when he was in the stern, he was asleep on a pillow. I like that. He grabbed a pillow and fell asleep. And in other words, he purposely fell asleep. He purposely went to sleep. He grabbed a pillow and went to sleep. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher," I want you to look at these next few words. "Teacher, don't you care?" Isn't it amazing when you're going through a storm sometimes and you're wondering where Jesus is? And sometimes if we're really real with one another, sometimes when I'm going through the midst of whatever I'm going through, I wonder where he is. I don't hear him. I'm not seeing him. Yet I'm doing what he says. He told the apostles to go to the other side. I'm walking in his will. Yet even in his will, I can go through a storm. And in the midst of that storm, I don't hear him. Not a word. Not a word. "Do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." I want you to just think of them words. He rebuked the wind, but he spoke peace to the waves. He had to speak and rebuke what is unseen and speak peace to what was seen. Because I fight not flesh and... Sometimes you've got to rebuke the unseen in your life and speak peace to what is seen. "I do not fight flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this age." We're not commanded to rebuke one another. I'm commanded to rebuke that which is driven them. "Peace be still," and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? Why are you so fearful? How is that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obeyed him?" And they were extremely fearful. They went from fear to great exceeding fear, and they realized that Jesus was greater than their storm. And he brought order. Amen. The storm was going to test them in three areas. It will test me in three areas of my life. They experience a physical storm. The wind and the waves were buffeting against the ship. They were getting knocked about. They're experiencing a physical storm. Anyone ever been knocked about? Buffeted. Knocked about. Sometimes by people who are supposed to be in the boat helping you to get to the other side. A buffeting by the winds and the sea, they also began to experience an emotional storm. All of a sudden, even the fishermen the experienced men began to fear. Sometimes in life, my physical problems can start to infect my emotions. Anyone ever experienced that in their life? Where all of a sudden you might have something wrong. Might be medical, might be a problem in the house, problem in a marriage, a problem with your kids. Now it's not just affecting you physically. Now it's gravitated to your head. And all of a sudden you're in fear. Jesus had to, first of all, talk about their fear. These men were gripped by the storm because their boat was filling up. All the time the boat was filling up, what do you think they were doing? They were bailing it out, just like a normal fisherman would. They were bailing it out. In other words, they were trying to keep afloat in their own strength. Isn't it amazing sometimes in my emotional, in my physical storms, it's me that's trying to do it all. I haven't yet woke Jesus up. I'm bailing it out. I'm doing what I think I should be doing. I'm getting out, get that water out of here. And all the time, my head's being played with. Doesn't he care? I'm doing everything you've asked me to do. Don't you care what I'm going through? Don't you understand my problem, my dilemma, my trial I'm going through? Aren't you hearing what I'm saying? Aren't you seeing what I'm doing? I'm here because you said to be here. Jesus never sent them over the Sea of Galilee to stop halfway and sink. He didn't say this. Grab the boat. Go halfway. And the storm will meet you. And you will sink. He didn't say that. He says you will get to the other. They had a word. But sometimes in trials of life and my storms, I don't remember the word. So painful can some storms be that I'm so consumed by the storm, I forget who's in my boat. Amen. Are you with me? Fear gripped them. Matthew 8:26 says, because the boat was filling up. He said to them, why are you so fearful? Are you of little faith? So it must have been some storm for fishermen to get fearful. It must have been some type of storm. They went over to Jesus and woke him up. Footnote hint, in your storm, you better know how to wake Jesus up to your problem. Don't wait for Jesus to do it for you. Matthew 7:7 says, ask, seek, and knock. Is that what he says? Ask and it shall be. Seek and you shall. Knock and it shall be. You better find your Jesus. You better know how to wake your Jesus up to your situation and problem. And it ain't because you're looking at him and saying, can't you see? Can't you see? Can't you see what I'm going through? He ain't waking up. You better go to him. Arouse him in prayer. Arouse him in the spirit to the dilemma you're going through. Arouse him. Wake him. The third storm. The third storm the disciples had to face was a spiritual storm. It was affecting them. Something was affecting them. Why would they honestly think he didn't care? What caused them to think Jesus didn't care about them? So consuming can the storms be. You honestly think Jesus is not caring or seeing what you're going through. Immediately he was aroused, he rebuked their two storms. He rebuked their physical storm, that which was buffeting them. He addressed their emotional storm. He rebuked the wind, the unseen. which comes and goes as it wishes. And no one knows where it comes from or where it goes. Isn't that what it says in the book of John? I've got to understand that my fight is not a physical fight. The minute I'm starting to look at someone and looking at them as my problem, I'm already in the wrong. I am now in a spiritual battle. He spoke peace to the seas, which were affected by the wind. They weren't bashing around because they were bashing around because something was provoking the seas. Peace to the seas. I rebuke the devil, but I speak peace to my brother. Here's the problem in the church. Most people are not rebuking the devil. Most people are rebuking one another, having something against aught with one another, which causes a spiritual problem. The next thing Jesus does was address their spiritual storm. He says to them, "You of little faith." He says to them, "You of little faith. Why are you so fearful? Fear will rob you of..." Come on, I want to hear you. "Fear will rob you of faith." Fear will rob you of faith. They're contrary one to another. I can't be full of faith and yet full of fear. One of them has to be arrested. And they are fighting one another. And your storm and my storm are constantly speaking to me to get me into a spiritual storm, so I think that Jesus doesn't care. And then once my soul thinks he doesn't care, guess what rises up? Fear. A lack of faith. And now I'm getting twice as many buckets trying to save the ship. Let me at it. But listen to me. It will wear you out. There will never be enough buckets to stop the sinking. You will be worn out trying, and it's works. He has to be the captain of the ship. He has to be the one who calms your storm. You cannot do anything in your own strength. I will fail. I must waken him by prayer, supplication, seeking his face. Some instances, fasting, seeking his face, and God, I'm in the midst of your will, but I didn't realize I have to go through a storm. I wish I could say to you, as Christians, you'll never go through a storm. I wish God could say to you, bad things and negative things won't happen to you. But it's not true. It's not true. You will go through a storm. You will go through your trials. You will go through your tests. And all the storm was revealing was what was in their heart. The response of their heart. Don't you care? Don't you care, Jesus? But I want to tell you something. When you're in his will, and you might be in the midst of a storm, it is still the safest place to be. When you're in his will, and even though you're going through a storm, it is still the safest place to be. Hello, Paul. On his journey to preach the gospel, arrested, thrown into the king's dungeon. He didn't have to wear a mask. But he couldn't see his hand in front of him. Because the king's dungeon is the lowest of lowest dungeons. And it isn't like the prisons of today. No. They're like caves. Wet. Full of stuff. creepy crawly stuff, which wouldn't suit me at all, would it, love? I hate creepy crawly. Seriously. I can rebuke a devil, but don't ask me to kill a cockroach. Don't like creepy crawlies. All right. Me and Mortina are the best of friends. Yeah. I keep them in business. Double. Anyway. Yet in the midst of his prison, Paul learned something. He knew he was on the mission. Yet in the midst of his prison, he could still sing a song. He didn't get so consumed in the prison. He got consumed in the Jesus that's the Lord of the prison. Are you with me? Next one, son. No, go back to the other one. So here's the dilemma. Has fear of the natural or the emotional storms caused me to lose faith? Do I see the storm greater than him that's in the boat? Or am I so consumed with the storm, I don't acknowledge him who's in the boat? My Bible says he will never leave me nor forsake me. And even though I'm comforted by them words, I'll be real with myself this morning. When there's a storm, and it's a big storm, sometimes I can forget him because I'm bailing out the boat. I'm bailing out my boat. Jesus never minimized the storm. It was valid. What he did do was address the condition of their heart. He never said, "Why are you fearful of this? Come on, I've taught you better than that. Wake up." He didn't do any of that. He addressed their fear. He addressed their unbelief. Go to the next one, son. So the enemy wants you to question, say these questions. Doesn't he care for you? That's exactly what the devil wants to remind you of. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. Look at this. You stepped out and you failed. Look at this. Nothing's happened. Look at this. You're waiting for the door to open. It hasn't opened. Look at this. You're not going to get there. You're not going to arrive. What he said, that prophecy is not going to come to pass. That word of knowledge is not going to be fulfilled in your life. Look at this. And all of a sudden, I'm challenged. But until I understand who he is, until by prayer, me activating and waking him up to my problem, he can't step in. Yet he wants to step in. Next one, son. Got this fly that loves me at the moment. The scripture goes with this in my spiritual storm. Ephesians 6 and 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." Be strong in the Lord and the power. Be strong in what? Be strong in what? Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in what? Be strong in that he loves me. Be strong in that he is gracious to me. Be strong in that he is merciful towards me. Be strong that he knows everything about me. Be strong that he never leaves me nor forsakes me. Be strong that he loved me so much that he died for me. Be strong that he never forgets and he's spoken a word over my life that he wants to fulfill the purpose of God in your life. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. And the power of his might, because you and I cannot do it. The devil will want to wear you out. In fact, that's what Daniel says, doesn't it? He tries to wear out the saints. He wants to wear you out, bailing yourself out, bailing everything else about, and then getting an attitude about Jesus. Don't you care? Turn with me to Ephesians 6. We're going to read from verse 10. Ephesians 6 and 10. Are we getting anything out of this? Good. Ephesians 6 and 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Before I can put on the whole armor of God, I've got to do what? Be strong in the Lord. I really believe this is one of the greatest dilemmas in the house of God today. They're trying to put on the armor of God, yet they're in a storm. And their storm is speaking to them. Does he care? So I'm not strong in faith with him, yet I want to walk in the power and the authority of the things of the Spirit with the armor of God. I can only walk in the power and the authority and the things of the Spirit with the armor of God if I am strong in the Lord. I'm not saying you have to be, what's the word I'm looking for? You have to be an apostle, you have to be a pastor. You've got to be so convinced what he spoke to you, so convinced what he thinks of you, so convinced of his love toward you, so convinced of his mercy and his grace extended to you, that he will move heaven and earth on your behalf. He will never leave me nor forsake me. Yet in the will, I will experience storms. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Therefore, putting on the armor of God, he says this, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. One of the greatest wiles of the devil today is, does he really care? You ask most backsliders what they really think. They say this, they've gone through a storm, but they didn't pray. They didn't arouse Jesus. They were bailing their boat until they got tired of bailing their boat. Then all of a sudden, they're in a spiritual storm. He doesn't care. He never seen me through it. He failed me. I asked, but he didn't do anything about it. But they never were in a position of prayer. What they were in a position was, they thought Jesus would see them and rescue them. But until they ask, he won't intervene. Put on the whole armor of God against the wiles of the devil, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. If you're in a storm, rebuke the wind. The unseen. Don't rebuke the one you can see. For we do not have written that. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. Having girded your waist with what? Having girded your waist with what? Having girded your waist with what? With the truth. The truth is, he is for you. He is not against you. The truth is his word, which is yes and amen. The truth is the truth is a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. The sword, then it says, take up the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit hangs on what? Where's it held by? By the belt. The sword is only as effective as the belt. It has to be used in truth. Not what you think, not what you perceive, but the truth. Because it's only the truth that will make me. But the sword hangs off the belt. Hallelujah. At all costs, speak truth. At all costs, speak truth. Amen. Having therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you are able to quench, how many? All the fiery darts. Fiery darts are not just arrows. Fiery darts are anything that has the capacity to pierce. A sword, a javelin, whatever it is that has a capacity to pierce you. This sword of faith, this shield of faith is able to quench every sharp object of the enemy. Amen. Above all, taking your shield of faith that is able to quench every fiery dart of the devil. Amen. Here are some other fiery darts, not necessarily of the devil. People's words, people's opinions, people's attitudes can be fiery darts. Amen. And sometimes when we're most vulnerable is when I think or I expect those in the house who are of the same faith as me and my shield is down, because I normally only have my shield up against the enemy. Is that true? But when I'm in the company of same believers and the same army of God, I don't expect another soldier to pierce me. Anyone ever been pierced by another soldier? Oh, you're all looking away like this guy. Of course we have. Someone said something wrong to you. And it's not the unsaved that are saying it. Taking the shield of faith through adversary, and taking the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end and be perseverance and supplication with the saints. And for me, the utterance may be given to me that I may boldly open my mouth to make known the mystery of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I really believe that we're in an hour where the church isn't experiencing the strength of his might, trying to put on the armor without having that power of his might. Trying to put on the armor. And if I'm not healed in my spiritual storm, I have no shield of faith. Though I'm confessing it, if I've got aught against a brother, hello? If I've got aught against a brother, where's that scripture? I'm thinking of it. Can't remember where it is. There's something about us loving on God. He desires me to love him and submit to him, honor him and obey him. Yet this same love, I found it. The love of many in the last days, Matthew 24. The love of many in the last days shall wax what? The love of many. Not just the love of the Lord. The love one to another. And this is where a lot of saints wear this weight of unforgiveness around their spirit and their soul, and their confession is, I love Jesus. But their action saying, I don't love you. Are you with me? Yet Jesus says, you shall know my disciples by the love they have for one another. And this is the dilemma of the spiritual storm. Amen? And because they're not yet clothed with the armor of God, they're open to attack. And that's why I feel a lot of people have backslidden and fallen away, because they shouted, screamed, done their stuff, had their fog, had their glitter falling, Yet they're not anchored in the love of God. I'll put it another way. They know of him, but they don't know him. They know of his ways, but don't know the way maker. They can read the book, but they don't know the author of the book. And you will only find that when you turn around in your storm and you arouse him and awaken him and say, Jesus, help me. I'm sinking. I need you. Rescue me. Rescue me. I can't do this. Rescue me. Next one, son. It's pretty hard to read that, isn't it? Therefore, my physical and emotional storms can become dictators of how I feel and how I respond. The storms keep me working to bail out my boat in my own strength. In the meantime, they're speaking. And the enemy's speaking. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. I'm here to tell you this morning, he does care. He cares for you. In fact, he doesn't just care for you. He's so concerned for you. He so loves you. Amen. I've just got to invite him into my storm. And what happens if I allow that to get around my spirit, I can become embittered. And all I'm doing is playing church without relationship. I really feel God wants to shake things off the house, this house. He wants me to put aside those things. Instead of battling the wind, I might be battling something else, and he wants me to stop. He wants me to stop bailing. And he wants me to wake him up. He wants to heal my storm, my physical storm, my emotional storm, and my spiritual storm. And when he did, they got over to the other side. Amen. Anyone want to cross over? Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. After he had rebuked the wind, after he had spoke peace to the waves, and they saw it, the disciples greatly feared. Who can this man be? In other words, he brought perspective of who's in charge. They feared the storm, but they greatly feared him who ruled the storm. Amen. If you want to know the fear of the Lord, let him be in control. Ask, seek, and knock. Every eye closed, every head bowed this morning. If you are in a storm of life, and every one of us go through storms, no one is exempt. Are you tired? Emotionally, physically, tired. Fighting the same old, bailing out the boat, doing the same old, hoping that you're going to fulfill what God has required of you. He wants to refresh you this morning. He wants to encourage you this morning that he's right in the middle of it with you. And he will see you through. He just needs you to hear you say something to him. Amen. If that's you this morning, you just raise up your hands before the Lord. If you want to see that crossing over, you want to see that crossing over, and I say, God, I am tired of being battered to and fro by the storm of life. I want to cross over into your purpose. God, I surrender it all. God, forgive me, Lord, for rebuking that which I shouldn't have been rebuking. Help me to speak peace to my sea. Father, help me to put you in control of my storm. Lord, you see our hands raised this morning. We surrender afresh, Holy Spirit. We surrender afresh and we let go of that thing. And we say, take control. Take control of my life. Take control of my walk. Take control. Let me be led by your Spirit. Help me, Jesus. Lord, I'm weary. Awaken to my prayer. I'm weary. I'm tired. Revive me, O God, in this hour like never before. Revive me, Father, into the goodness of my God and the wonder and the glory of your presence. Give me a passion of prayer. Give me a passion to seek your face and seek your word, that I might know you afresh in this hour. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now I believe it, and I let go of my fears and my doubts. I let them go. Father, I thank you that I stand in awe at your power and your goodness and your greatness, your majesty. I stand in awe of you this morning. For you're the God who will make way for me. You're the God who will make my crooked path straight. You're the God who never leaves me nor forsakes me. And I thank you for your grace this morning in Jesus' name. And if that's you, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. He is a good God. And no one said amen. Amen. He is a good God. Amen. He's a wonderful God. And I think sometimes as church folk, we've got to come to church with a different attitude. We've got to come with an attitude to give. We've got to come with an attitude to shout a shout of joy to the Lord. Amen. Because he's worthy of it all. No matter what storm I'm in, he'll see me through. God bless you. Have a good week, wonderful week, a successful week. And know that he's in absolute control. In Jesus' name. Amen.